Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he stops robbing his home. Sweet song, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Suspended potentially indefinitely as Britain starts to get to grips with a worldwide medical crisis that will change our lives significantly for the foreseeable future. Only at Charlton could that just be the second most interesting thing that's happened this week. Welcome to Charlton Live. So good evening to you and welcome to Charlton Live, coming to you live from my kitchen. We've had a change of location this week. A lot of things are going to be changing in society and in football for Charlton fans and for fans of all clubs over the next few months. So we decided to try something a bit different this week. We took our equipment home on Thursday after the show that never was, brought it back to my kitchen. So that's where we're coming to you live from this evening. I hope you're hearing us loud and clear from sunny Sidcup. Joining me here in my kitchen, over on my left-hand side, is Mr. Benji Cloak. How you doing, Ben?
Yes, good, thank you, Louis.
Yeah, had a good week?
Yeah, weird week, but not bad.
Yeah, and also sitting opposite me currently, Tom Wallin. How you doing, Tom?
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Bit of a crazy week, isn't it?
Yeah, a bit of an odd one. Well, myself and Tom were witnesses to one of the most bizarre things we've ever seen in our Charlton supporting lives on Thursday evening at the Valley. We're going to give you some more details about what we saw then. We're also waiting for Nathan to get here. He's been out having a curry with his dad, and he's going to turn up late, but he will be here later on in the show as well to discuss what has been another absolutely baffling week in SE7, where the owner, is that the right word to use? The majority shareholder of ESI, Tanun Namir, and the chairman/CEO, Matt Southall, have had the most public of public falling outs. It's left the future of the club in real jeopardy, if we're being honest. A real confusion. We've seen some outbursts on social media. We saw an evening on Thursday, the likes of which I've never seen in my entire life, which included club representation or club staff doing all they can to try and force the chairman out of the club under the advice of the majority shareholder. Police were called to that situation. It was an evening that I've never, the likes of which I've never seen before, and the likes of which I hope I never have to see again in the future of our football club, which, as I say, is probably in jeopardy. We're going to hear some comments from Lee Bowyer later on during the show as well. He gave us his thoughts on Thursday, so as you can imagine, slightly out of date now, but he did give his thoughts on the situation on Thursday. I also spoke to Richard Wiseman from the Supporters Trust to find out their thoughts on it. The Supporters Trust, of course, have called on Matt Southall to resign. I mean, Matt Southall's current position is still, I think it's fair to say it's probably up in the air. I mean, I know he's been told he's banned from the premises, from the Valley. That's sort of what happened on Thursday. I understand he was handed some sort of paperwork a few hours after he left the Valley on Thursday evening, but I haven't seen anything on the club website to confirm that. It would appear there still seems to be legal wrangling behind the scenes. So I don't think we can go as far as saying that he is banned. I can say he's been told he's banned, but that seems to be the crazy situation we're in. We're under a transfer embargo. That's what we found out this week. Tanu Namir has failed to satisfy the EFL's test when it comes to source and sufficiency of his funding. So far, that's what the EFL have told us. I think Tanoon or his lawyers have sort of implied they thought they had achieved that, or at least given some paperwork over. So that's something else that's up in the air at the moment. There's a lot that's up in the air at the moment. What I want to do, just to try and get everyone up to date with where we are, is I'm going to go through a list of everything that's happened this week. And when I sat there writing that this afternoon, I'd been there for so long, and I got to a point where I was like, oh my God, I've just about finished Tuesday. Like, there's still two more days to go. And so I'm going to go through that in a sec. But just before we do, I think let's bring in some of the other members of the show then, Tom. I mean, you were there on Thursday. We were there to do the podcast, which obviously never happened because of the events that were unfolding at the Valley. When I turned up at the Valley on Thursday, it became clear that something was about to go down big style. I think there was a hope that it would only last about 15 minutes and we'd be able to witness and then get out of there and get on the show. Obviously, that ended up in a bit of a standoff. As we mentioned, the police were called. Eventually, Matt Southall left the building. Security and police left the building at the same time. So that's why we didn't go on Thursday. So we haven't really had a chance to discuss everything that's happened since then. I mean, what are your general overriding feelings at the moment, Tom? I mean, where do you even start?
I don't know where I start. It's been an absolute roller coaster. And we're going to go through, obviously, the events of the week. But my thoughts on Monday night was, on Tuesday, am I going to have a club to support? But things have obviously progressed a little bit. And Thursday was just something I just never thought I'd see. And obviously, we've had a few crazy days down at the Valley over the past few seasons with protests and games being stopped and stuff. But all of those things have taken place in the context of a football match. So at least there are some familiarities. There are players on the pitch. There are fans in the stands. It's a normal football match. And something comes in which is a little bit different, like throwing beach balls on the pitch or whatever. But getting there for the show, there was nothing usual about seeing that, about seeing someone supposedly being handed notice that he was not welcome anymore, people wanting to get rid of him, and him just refusing to leave. And it was just a crazy turn of events. And like you say, we thought, oh, well, it'll be half an hour. We think then he'll be gone and then that'll be that. We can get on with the show. And the longer it went on, the weirder it became. And as you say, police turned up and eventually he leaves. And obviously, I would imagine every listener will have seen a video that you put out after when he walked out of the club. And as you say, he gets in his car and drives off, and the situation isn't really any clearer.
I was thinking about it after. That's actually the first time I've spoken face-to-face with Matt. Yeah. I think I've tweeted him a couple of times, but I think our chances of getting him on Charlton Live have probably gone downhill a little bit now.
Just a touch.
Ben, I mean, obviously you were sort of watching from afar on Thursday, but we've all been sort of had the same level of access in terms of seeing this stuff that's been put on social media throughout the week. And No matter what happens in the future, I mean, there aren't many clubs I know that the majority shareholder, the chairman, the people who seem to be running it are having a spat like this in public on social media. And I can't think anyone is sitting there looking at that from afar and thinking, yeah, that's the Charlton I know and love. This is not the Charlton from 15, 20 years ago that used to be the model club. I mean, this is, the last 5 or 6 years have been absolutely bizarre at this club. And I honestly think that it's getting worse. I know a lot of people under Rowland felt that, I mean, there was serious danger for the future of the club at the moment. And I don't think that changed when Rowland was here. I still think that was the case because there was some bizarre stuff going on. But this last week suggests to me that things have got worse.
Yeah, I think this is the worst I've ever felt being a Charlton fan. The security as a fan, as Tom's just said, feeling like you might not even have a club to support. I think, yeah, you hit the nail on the head. We used to be the model club. Every other like newly promoted Premier League side used to say, do you know what? We're going to try and do a Charlton Athletic. They're so like secure in what they do. They're so regiment. They've like kept the same manager for years, blah, blah, blah. And we've had some bad days under Roland. But at least Roland said, do you know what? I pay your wages still. I pay your wages. Southall come out and said, oh, the money run out in December. Blimey, as fans, what are we expecting to see? We've got so many loan players. We've got so many players running out of contract in the summer. As fans, there's no security there. And that's what we're striving for. And we heard Southall's interviews in January coming out and saying what he was going to do in the windows, long-term views. And we were, oh, yeah, brilliant. This is what we want to hear. This is what we've been wanting to hear. But it's gutting, it's heart-wrenching to see what has happened in this past week. Surprising, I guess, a little bit surprising, but I guess some fans look and go, do you know what, I saw the writing was on the wall in January because we never signed anyone. We only got loans and I didn't see any confirmation that the board really wanted to go places. A January transfer window is hard, isn't it? We all know that. But there was nothing there like for us to rely on. And yeah, now the whole football world's having a laugh at us, really, weren't they?
It's bizarre, isn't it, that it's almost going to go under the radar a little bit now because of what else is happening in this country and in the world with the virus that means that the football stopped now. And in a weird way, I mean, personally, you know, I go to work all week, and even with the news that's been going on with the virus over the last few weeks, and you can feel it creeping up, I still was looking forward to going to Hull just because it's a distraction. And whereas Thursday night was a distraction as well, with the football gone, that's going to be a whole different kettle of fish in a different way for a lot of people as well. So it's going to be really strange coming up, and the worries we have about the club are probably going to be put to one side, I imagine, over the course of the next few weeks. But at the same time, for now, let's concentrate on this one absolute cluster, and then we'll worry about the impending whatever's coming next over the course of the next few weeks. I'm sure a lot of people will be interested to know what's going to happen with the show as well, and I'm not in a position to give anyone a clear-cut answer. I imagine this will be the last live show we do for a while. As I mentioned at the top, it's coming from my kitchen currently. We took the stuff home on Thursday purely because no one knows what's going to happen in terms of when places are going to become shut, when people are going to be asked to stay within their houses. I thought it'd be useful to have the equipment here. Also, obviously, there was other stuff going on Thursday at the club that made us suddenly think maybe it's a good idea if we stay away from the Valley for a while, just in case we get asked to not be there. Although I don't think that there's no indication that would have been the case, but just in case. So in terms of the show over the next few weeks, I imagine this will be our last live one. I can't imagine we'll be doing two shows a week with no game, but I'll try and get something out maybe weekly. If we record it remotely amongst ourselves, if I can get interesting people on the phone to do chats as well. But we'll discuss what's going to happen over the course of the next few months as and when it happens. And I mean, towards the end of this evening's show, people will be wondering, you know, where do we see it going for football? Because we were 9 games away from the end of the Championship season. There's a lot to be talked about there as well. And we'll hear people's suggestions and talk about that sort of stuff later on in the show as well. But now, as I promised, I want to try and take you through how I saw the week happening. Now, as I'm sure you can imagine, there's a lot going around at the moment. There's people, there's a lot of briefing going out against certain people from both sides of this situation. Anyone who's on social media would have seen some fans sharing information they've been given, and I know exactly where that information would have come from. We're going to be careful about what we say because accusations, obviously, legally are quite difficult to tread around. But we'll see what we can say, and I'll try and explain how I've seen this week going. So Monday night, I was here in my house. I was enjoying watching the telly. All of a sudden, Instagram pops up. Tanu Nimir, the majority shareholder, put a bit of a muddled Instagram message. And to be fair with him, they always were. His English, his written English wasn't the best. He put up a picture of the badge saying, "The club has been misused from all suit guys. I'm stomping back and I can't carry on this on. Good luck." And then before commenting to fans, things such as, "I am out of this. You need to carry on with your chairman." Now, this obviously caused a lot of confusion. There was a lot of alarm bells ringing. Then Tanu Nimir sent this, and I'm going to play you this now. This is a clip of a voice message that he sent to a fan on Instagram on Monday evening.
Your chairman had raped the club with his team. I'm not happy to give my money to the people to rape this money. The club guys, and they take all the money for them to leave a nice bridge, to get the Range Rovers, and to use the money for the pitches. You should ask Matt Southwell. Guys, he cheat you. He take all the money which I put in the club, and it has been gone for his lifestyle.
Right, so the crux of that is he appears to be accusing Matt Southwell of, or people of taking money that was meant for the club and spending it on... Now, what I know a lot of people seem to think he says bread. He says, I think he's saying a nice flat. For some, somehow he makes that sound like bread, but I think he's saying a nice flat. He mentions cars, and then he adds something that sounds like something, and I don't even know what that could refer to or what that meant or if it even sounds like what we thought it sounded like. So we've got to be careful there. But, I mean, Tom, when you're hearing that sort of stuff, and the cars rang a bell because we've known about these Range Rovers. We've seen them outside the Valley when we go to do our shows. My initial reaction was, why have we spent this amount of money on Range Rovers and not on players? That was a bit of confusion. Mm. Obviously, as the week's gone on, well, we're learning more and more. But I mean, when you're seeing this kicking off, and Matt and on Instagram, Southall Tanoon appearing to say that basically he's going to be withdrawing his funding. I mean, that's when I was like, tomorrow morning we don't have a club. Then
I wasn't by that point, because I don't think I fully understood who had put what money in or who had that much ownership of the club. Obviously, I knew that he was the majority shareholder and his funding was behind it. When I saw he was pulling out the club, I thought, okay, that's a bit strange. And then started to check on Twitter, and then obviously this voice note comes through. And because the way it comes across is quite funny, and because Charlton fans picked up on that, there was quite a lot of sort of gallus humour among fans at that point on Monday. So if I take myself back to exactly that point where I was reading it, I was a bit like, what the hell's going on? But also kind of finding it a bit farcical, I guess. And then as the evening went on, it then got to the point where I was still in bed at, I don't know, 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, refreshing my Twitter feed. And when the statement started to come out on the website, which I'm sure you'll come to, and when I started to read more around that, that was at the point where I was like, if this is serious and he's really taking his money out, we're, as far as I could tell, the club was then broke. And that was when I was suddenly like, whatever this is, if this doesn't get sorted, where do Charlton go? Do Charlton even exist anymore? I think that was the tweet I put out at some point, was, who are we? Is the club even around anymore? So, yeah, it went from a point of being a little bit funny, like you say, because he's got that broken English on the Instagram post and some of the words are not the right words. Like you said, stooping or stomping or something like that. Oh, that's, and you laugh. And then he talks about the Range Rovers and the whatever and you laugh. But underlying it was a very serious issue. But at the same time, at that point in the week, I think you could probably argue the same now, you weren't really sure who the bad guy was, if there was a bad guy. All you knew was he was calling someone out for doing something. And as I say, the club was just sat in the middle of something that was kind of being passed around between them.
Yeah, so Southall then DM'd, I think it was Millie, the young blogger, saying there would be a statement out at 11, which was then shared on Twitter. So everyone's getting ready for this statement. Tanoon tidied up his Instagram message and then saying that he discovered the club and its financial resources had been exploited in a wrong and immoral manner, and that he'd withdrawn from the purchase. Now you're thinking, right, we're in big trouble here, because Matt Southall, I mean, he's never, there's absolutely no indication whatsoever that Matt Southall is a wealthy man who could, I don't think that's ever been accepted as a case. I think it was 18 months ago. He was, I think it was something along the lines of, there was a disagreement between him and a lawyer that he hadn't paid. And it was reported that he said, because he was out of employment, he couldn't afford to pay this lawyer. This lawyer pops up again later on in the week.
Before he tidied that post up as well, there was a lot of chat that the post was fake. And so at that point, I was like, well, let's wait and see. But when he tidied it up and you thought, right, he's gone in there to clarify it, that was at the point.
I mean, we've been through this before, when stuff has gone up, when Roland stuff went up on the website and people were assuming it was fake. Yeah. I mean, I remember when that happened, I knew at the time it was real. But this one, it was a bit confusing until we heard the voice note. Now, this statement went out from Matt Southall on the club Twitter and website, saying that Tanoon had sent a damaging letter and made allegations about Southall's conduct that his lawyers had immediately sort of rebutted. He claimed that Tanoon had put no money into the club whatsoever, and then he hinted that only Matt Southall and Jonathan Heller had passed the owners and directors test, which then made you believe that Tanoon hadn't, although I think the ownership and directors test is sort of split into a few parts, and under the impression that he has passed that test, Tanoon, but he hasn't passed a different part. He also said that he hinted that he felt something in Tanoon's letter about using the phrase disadvantageous contracts. He made out that that related to Lee Bowyer, so he tried to make out, it sounds like, that Tanoon Namir was against Lee Bowyer. Tanoon then carried on Instagram saying the chairman wants to spend my money on his flat and his lifestyle. So there we are. That's Monday, okay? 20 minutes into the show. Tuesday morning, the club then put out a statement on the club website implying that Tanoon Namir had resigned as director. So that seemed to back up what had been put on Instagram on Monday night. But then not long after, Tanoon issued his own statement on Instagram that says it denies he had, also reveals the club are under a transfer embargo, talks again about the misuse of funding, then said he will withhold his funding until Southall is removed. As the day goes on, Chris Parks, a long-serving club secretary, is suspended. Rick Everett reporting that it was because he had basically spoken to the EFL on Tanoon Nimmer's behalf, according to Rick. Then an EFL statement comes out, this is still Tuesday, talking about the unhelpful media comments coming out of Charlton Athletic, confirms that the source and sufficiency of the funding has not been confirmed for the takeover, and therefore we are in an embargo. Now people are saying, if we've been under a transfer embargo, what was all that on transfer deadline day from Matt Southall on Twitter? I mean, what on earth was he playing at?
Yeah, that's the thing that's gutting to know. With Roland, we felt like we've been treated like fools, and we believe in this guy, trusting this guy, really looking forward to transfer deadline day, seeing these tweets come in, going, oh, do you know what? Who are we going to bring in? Seeing, oh, I've got my super duper phone and all of this stuff for us to just bring in loans who, look, one guy, Smith, unfortunately for him, he hasn't even been used. Like, what, one sub appearance?
Yeah, so a transfer deadline day that was built up a lot on social media, by the end of it was nothing. So I think we're still on Tuesday. Jamie O'Hara randomly got involved, made a comment on his Twitter page, which is now deleted, said that he's seeing people scrambling to delete any evidence of a lavish lifestyle, says there will be a few cheap Range Rovers going around in Southeast London, and he also used the hashtag CFC, without naming any names, but he did use the hashtag CFC, so clearly some sort of history, it would appear, between Jamie and Matt, according to what some people are putting on Instagram as well, so I'm not entirely sure why, but there we go. Now all of a sudden, a list has appeared on social media, and I'm sure I'm not the, like, lots of people got sent it. Now, how would you describe this list? It's a list of alleged sums of money that the club had paid, which included thousands upon thousands of pounds of consultancy fees to the likes of Matt Southall, to Charlton fan Lee Amis, who was described as a consultant, I think, in this takeover. He's been knocking about.
Broker, wasn't
he? Yeah, I don't know how you describe it, but he's also, I understand, had a Range Rover as well, had use of one of these Range Rovers. A man called Jacko Van Seventer, if I've pronounced that correctly, Jonathan Heller and John Hurst. So this list shows an insane amount of consultancy payments going out of the club. Payments for these cars, credit card expenses, hotels, and a substantial rent, which at the time I didn't pick up at all, of £12,500. I didn't pick that up whatsoever. Now, how would you describe that list? I'd say it's been around long enough now to have been denied, and certainly when I've asked questions of certain people how it could be justified, there was no, it didn't happen. There was a justification that was sent my way rather than it didn't happen. So that appears to be where we are with that list. It's also way too accurate to, I mean, someone's made that up, they've done well. So where are we now? I think that's still Wednesday, possibly. Wednesday evening, I'm sat here at this very table enjoying my dinner, and Tanoon Namir posts a letting agreement on Instagram of a flat in the club's name that is being charged to the club at £12,500 per month, which is an incredible amount of money, including the address. And he says, if you want to find Matt Southall and ask how many players are on £3,000 per week, which is, of course, what that 12 and a half grand rent equates to, you can find him at this address. So Tanoon Namir has then posted Matt Southall's address on Instagram, which obviously he shouldn't have done. you know, it resulted in at least one fan going to there, because and we know that because he put it on Facebook, which again probably shouldn't have happened, but it happened, and that's likely to happen in this situation. This drama just kept going on and on. Chris Farnell was Tanun Namir's lawyer, who previously worked with Southall. You know, we brought him up earlier. Went on Talksport on where are we now, Wednesday morning, saying that Matt Southall is refusing auditors the chance to look at the club accounts. The Charlton Athletic Supporters Trust had a meeting with Southall. They said in their statement that the very future of the club is in jeopardy. Now we're on to Thursday morning, and now Thursday was probably the most remarkable day of it all, especially now when you consider it started off with a statement that implied that the club and the board give their full backing to Matt Southall, and that no one should take Tanun Namir's comments as official club statements. Now, I quite quickly was surprised to see that implied the club. When you see something that says the board has the backing of Matt Southall, well, who is the board? It was Matt Southall, basically. Maybe was it Heller? Because whatever, obviously Namir's not even there. Yeah. When it said the club had the backing of Southall, I mean, I know for a fact, because I speak to people who work at that club every day, that they didn't. So that was a bizarre statement to see coming out as well. Now you're thinking the PR's gone into overdrive, Tom.
Yeah, and it was by that point, as I say, a lot of this week has been, well, as Charlton fans, look, the only thing we care about is the club. Who's at fault here and what are they doing to the club? Because that's what we need to identify and they need to be got rid of. And with everything that happened over those couple of days where that statement came out, obviously the minutes of the trust meeting were published and you take them at face value, it comes across all right. But then the trust put out their statement saying, we've got no faith in Matt Southall and want him removed. Obviously, unprofessional would be one way of putting Tanun's actions over that period in terms of posting the flat and stuff. But he firmly, with the expenses or whatever we're calling that other piece that he put out with all the costs, he's very much saying this is all in Matt Southall's door. As I say, the trust backs that up. Southall, presumably, or the club, put out that statement where Southall basically says, I think Southall's the right man to run the club. And at that point, it had turned from Monday, at the very start of Monday, when Tanun says, I'm dropping out, and people were unclear as to why fully. Suddenly, by Thursday morning, it was very much, right, Matt, something's up with Matt Southall here, and that needs to be taken care of.
Going back to Monday, I mean, when Tanun's announced he was pulling out, and Southall put this, I mean, obviously, put the statement on the website where there's clear arguments between the two. But he's sort of implying that the club will look to continue to run day to day. And all I could sit there thinking was, Matt Southall is no position to run this club day to day. And how can he come in and say that he's going to do that? Matt Southall, without the money from Tanun Namir, is absolutely nothing. He's a nobody. Mm. I mean, when this takeover was first announced back in, November? Obviously, the intention for it to go through. You know, we're not stupid. Those of us who had to, we started digging and... I mean, the writing
doesn't paint a good picture, does it?
The writing's been on the wall for a while, but the long and short of it is Matt Southall, without the money from Tanun Namir, is not going to run this club. So how he could go around and obviously he needs to find new investment or whatever, but I mean, that ship has sailed now after what else has come out this week. If it's the statement putting out about how they're going to try and continue to run the club day to day with Southall here, I mean, it didn't make any sense, Ben.
Well, no. As the trust rightly said, Roland used to say, I'm sure our buyers are going to come. How long did we wait for that? If Southall thinks that people are going to invest that quickly, it's not going to happen. And as you said, Namir, in those press conferences, as Southall said, he said a lot of the time that this is who Tanun is. These are the businesses that Tanun has. This is how much money that he's put in, blah, blah, blah. He's going to be here for the long haul. He was reassuring us in those press conferences, the person who Tanun is. And now to say, oh, don't worry, guys, I've got a club now, I'm going to run it till December, is so disheartening for us, because we're like, how? Because before you said you couldn't without Tanun.
Right, so let's continue going through Thursday now then. So we're coming to the end of this list at least, thank God. He's put out a statement again, so Tanun's been on Talkport as well, I should add that. So Chris Farnell went on Wednesday, I think Tanun was on Thursday.
Fair play to Talksport, they've given us a lot of airtime.
Yeah.
Haven't needed to.
Not much else going on nowadays. and throughout Thursday, a lot of briefing going on against Tanun Namir. You will have seen stuff, as I said earlier, you would have seen stuff turning up on Twitter stuff that people tried to put through myself, through I'm sure other people who you would certainly describe as a really reputable source of information that didn't get out because we're not mugs, basically. Then they try a few slightly lower hanging fruit, people who are happy to put out anything unchallenged because they feel important because someone sent it to them. And all this stuff starts turning up on Twitter, hitting back, biting back, you know, trying to change the story. Still, we're not seeing any justification. Okay, all we're seeing here is people trying to say, well, actually, he's as bad as us, which I don't think could be considered justification. I think it shows you exactly the characters and the situation that we're dealing with here. So there was a lot of briefing going out.
Was it then that we found out about the transfer embargo as well?
The embargo we had from the EFL, so we knew about the transfer embargo. Oh,
yeah. Carl Robinson as
well. Carl Robinson.
Carl was on Talksport.
That was like a blast
Matt Holland.
From the past, yeah.
Said he's best mates for everyone, but he'd never replied back to him.
Nimir then puts on his Instagram. This might have been the Wednesday. I've lost track now, but basically Nimir put on his Instagram. I think this was a Thursday. The stuff with Jamie O'Hara that appeared to show
that
a letter.
That was Thursday.
Yeah, it was. Appeared to show a letter that implied that Matt Southall was going after Jamie O'Hara legally for what he said on Twitter. Thursday afternoon, Card are back, because why wouldn't Card be back at this point? They need to change their name, obviously, but Card are back to try and prevent Matt Southall from turning up to the game, which obviously now is not going to happen on Tuesday. Then it's Thursday evening, right? So we're in this situation. Thursday evening, I'm on the way to the Valley to do a show. Okay, and that is my only intention. I go to the Valley every Thursday evening to do Charlton Live. I was probably going to walk through pretty much the list that we've seen already this evening. When I turned up the Valley, and I won't say how, it became quite clear that something was about to go down. Okay, so I was in the car park. I looked into the director's box, or into the boardroom, which you can see from the car park. I could see Matt Southall in there with the finance guy, who we called finance guy for the
all night
McHugh or something like that he's called, and I was understood that maybe I should stay in the car park because something's about to go down. And there's quite a few videos I haven't even released yet, but it was quite dramatic. There was three or four cars all of a sudden swept into the car park. And out popped, and I'm not breaking any confidences here because everyone knows the names that are on Twitter. Out popped Tracy Leeburn, the club player liaison officer. Out popped Mick Everett, who's the head of sort of security. Yeah, head of security, or whatever the correct term is for there. Out popped John Little, who's part of the former, used to work at the club, but works for security firms. There was another security guy in the car, was Chris Farnell, Tanoon's lawyer. Ollie Groom, the club journalist, was downstairs ready for this. They all went up into the boardroom, and my understanding at the time was they were there to serve papers to tell Matt Southall that he was no longer welcome at the Valley. This was from Tanoon's lawyer to tell us basically that Matt Southall was what they were going for was suspended. Now, whether that's actually happened or not, I don't know. So they wanted to suspend Matt Southall. Now, I was under the impression this would take about 5 minutes, which is why I didn't tweet at 6 o'clock the show was cancelled. I only tweeted at 6:40 the show was going to be cancelled. What then proceeded to happen was Matt Southall decided he didn't want to leave. He wasn't going to leave without a fight. And if you want to say that legally or physically, I don't know what the correct term for that, but he certainly wasn't going to leave without a fight. We were told by people involved in the situation what was going on upstairs. The police were called. They turned up maybe about half an hour, 40 minutes into it. About two sort of plainclothes police officers came in. They went to talk to the people involved to find out what the situation was. Still, there was very little movement in terms of anyone going downstairs. I could see Matt Southall on his phone the entire time. Jonathan Heller, the director, then walked in as well. He was in there, sat down. Then further police were called, and we were told, oh, a police inspector's coming. A marked police car turned up at the Valley. They went in. There was a discussion to be had there. And eventually, I looked at the timings of everything I saw. It took 2 hours while I was stood in the freezing car park, taking as many photos as possible. You could see in my photos that members of the club staff appeared to be challenging Matt Southall, telling him he has to leave. Eventually, once the police had gone in, Southall was advised to leave. He did leave. And then I tried to ask some questions of Matt. And for anyone who missed it, this is what happened when Matt Southall left.
Matt, can you tell us what's happened tonight, please?
Do you have a message for the Charlton fans? What's the future of their club? Are you still part of this club, Matt? Have you a message for Tanoon? So as you can hear, Matt Southall decided he didn't want to answer any of my questions. At that stage, I mean, a lot had gone on that evening. It was a stressful evening. Don't think this was just people going in there and having a conversation. There were tears. There were people very upset with what was going on that evening. There were people ringing people. I know that for a fact, that people's phones started ringing when they shouldn't have been. Let's put it that way. People who shouldn't be getting involved in this, trying to, well, what they were trying to achieve by ringing people who work for the club, I don't know. But they shouldn't have been doing that, should they? And eventually Matt Southall left. And as we say, he didn't answer any of my questions. Now, I went to speak to the lawyer, Chris Farnell, and it's very much, well, we can't, he was very much, there'll be a statement later. You know, I said, what's the current situation? There'll be a statement later. We sort of hung around for about another 10 minutes and we're like, let's get out of here, let's go home. Everything's a bit up in the air at the moment. Now, my understanding is, later on in the early hours of Friday morning, Matt Southall was served with some sort of paper that tells him he's banned from the premises. Now, the reason I'm saying he's told he's banned from the premises, not he is banned from the premises, because I don't know where that's landed legally. So as far as I know, the situation currently is he's been told he's not to go to the premises. I don't believe he turned up anywhere on Friday, and I'm not sure what happens now in terms of that. Now, just before we welcome Nathan to the show, I'll just quickly go through what happened on Friday, because something quite funny happened. Tanoon confirmed that a Twitter account had been set up in his name and referred to Matt Southall as a lanky egghead. Wasn't him. There was a statement then from the heads of departments within the club to assure them to say they are assured by the commitment from Tanoon Namir. And then some more unsavoury stuff was going on. There was an account that claimed to be a friend of Matt Southall, and this person turned up in photographs with Matt Southall in the director's box at games previously. That was quite clearly leaking emails from people like Tracy Leeburn. Now, how he gets hold of that, I mean, you can make your own assumptions on that. But the fact that there's now appears to be some sort of targeted, I'd call it harassment, on a member of club staff says all you need to know about the people that were involved in this absolute circus is Charlton Athletic. I was trying to think what else is out there. So the Love Sports show, there's a podcast who the Love Sport guys do. We used to do it back in the day. There's a new lot doing it now. Good group of lads. But they had someone calling in their show, and I know exactly who Stuart from Blackleaf is now, because he turned up at the Valley on Thursday and admitted to it him. Yeah. But they had to pull the show because Stuart from Blackheath was making accusations that can't stand up in court. Why on earth they got on the show in the first place? But this is what I was saying. You've got to be careful with what people are sending you, okay? Because there is a lot of briefing going on against each side at the moment. And Stuart from Blackheath probably has shared that quite a lot themselves on Twitter. You've got to be very careful, because you're opening yourself wide up there to all sorts of accusations. Let's welcome Nathan to the show. Nathan, how was your curry?
Oh,
yeah.
I decided to, yeah, it was all right. Watching my old man try this Naga chili one was quite exciting, to be fair. But I come here as soon as I could, my new range out the front. It's all there, all in its glory.
Yeah.
It's good.
So to sum up, it's been an absolute disaster of a week in terms of Charlton. A lot's up in the air at the moment. There's been some real unsavoury stuff from both sides. There's been targeted harassment of people who work at the club. There's been people releasing people's addresses that they shouldn't have. There's been people going around someone's house that they shouldn't have. Basically, no one's come out of this week looking good, have they?
No, last week it just seemed one thing after another. You think it couldn't get any worse, or there couldn't be anything else that comes out. And yeah, it did. It did, didn't it, really? But it was a bit surreal, because it was like it was turning into a bit of a soap opera. And I mean, it's not nice watching all the stuff that we've had in recent years, and you're having some more stuff come out now, which is obviously never great. So, but it's just, if anything, really, this break now, at least we've got no football, so they can try and concentrate on getting things in order, however that is. But yeah, just what you were saying earlier, I think a lot of things been banded around on Twitter and stuff, and it's true what they say, don't believe everything you read, because people do seem to pretend they're in the know and make stuff up, which is, with a legal case, you don't want to, like you say, leave yourself open to things. But yeah, it's been a bit of a farce, but we never do it any smooth way, do we, at Charlton? So yeah. But yeah, it is what it is, isn't it?
Yeah. So of course, tonight's show, is, as always, is going to be opened up to comment from yourselves. You can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Life Forum. There's a thread on there for this evening's show. There's a few comments. Killer and Flash saying that live from Louis' kitchen, and then imagining that Amy's going to come in soon and says, how long are you going to be? I need to cook dinner, and who are these weirdos anyway?
She's looking confused as well.
Oh, we're still waiting for Solly the cat to walk in as well. She hasn't done that yet. But she's gone to get some food. So if she comes into the studio, into the kitchen later on, we'll let you know. But I think before we go any further, I mean, you guys probably want to hear from someone who's a bit more involved with Charlton Athletic Football Club than we are. So let's hear from Lee Bowyer. Now, these quotes were from Thursday. I was planning on using them on Thursday evening's show. Obviously, we got slightly sidetracked there. So some of the quotes refer to, this was before the games were cancelled. So you'll hear some of the quotes that Lee Bowyer mentions implies that there was still football expected to be played this Saturday. But Bowyer was asked on Thursday how this has affected him and his players and the mood around the club.
Well, to be fair, Tuesday was really the day when the chairman came in and had a meeting with everybody. And yesterday we was off, so we've not really had time to speak. After this will be the time that I have to speak to the players and pick them up. So, like I said, the timing... It's wrong. It's wrong for us as a club to have all this negativity at a stage like this in the season. It's difficult.
What can you tell us about Tuesday's meeting? Can you confirm that the players, the staff, were told that there might be issues regarding getting paid beyond December?
Yes, that's exactly what happened. Everybody to do with the training ground was in the meeting. And the chairman stood there and explained the situation. He opened the floor for questions, and players and staff, obviously one of the main topics were, when will we stop getting paid? And the chairman said December is likely when the money will run out. So that didn't go down well, as you can imagine. Then you've got players that are contracted to here for next season, and they're going to be concerned about their future. So, it wasn't a very good meeting, but fair play to the chairman. He came in and he fronted it, and he told everyone the situation that we're in now.
What about your future? Does any part of you now want to walk away from this?
No, because I could have done that in January. I had a decision to make whether to sign my contract or to walk away. And everybody knows what the club means to me. So I knew what situation the club was in. I knew we was under an embargo at that time. And I decided to stay and fight for the club and not leave when the club's in this situation that it was in. So I could easily have walked away. A lot of people would have said that would have been the right thing to do. But I believe in this club. I love the club. I've got a good, honest bunch of lads, good staff around me, and fans that try as hard as the players. So for me to walk away then in January when the club is in the state that it was, would have been wrong of me. We've all worked so hard, that's everyone to do with the football club, to get us to where we are now. So to walk away would have been the wrong thing. And I'm not a quitter, I'm a fighter. And if there is a club that can come out of this, this is the club. It's been backed into a corner many, many times. And the club know how to fight and to get over the line, if you like. Regarding the Valley years ago, everybody fought to keep the Valley and to get back to the Valley. And last season, in the time that I've been here, no one tipped us for promotion, and we fought for that and got that. And this season, we're in this predicament now, and now this is the time when we all have to pull together. And we know how to do that. We've done it many a time.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across, Bowers there, Pierce is there, Bowers with a header, and it's Jones!
Yes! Oh, it's in!
Oh, he scores! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty!
Woo! Dreamland!
Charlton have scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, too!
Get in!
Come on!
What a time to be a hero!
Here at Wembley!
Oh my word! Oh my word!
Charlton Live.
Right, so welcome back. This is Charlton Live coming to you live from my kitchen on your Sunday evening. We're discussing the absolute disaster that is Charlton Athletic Football Club this week. We just heard there the thoughts of Lee Bowyer. I mean, he's never one to hold back, Tom, is he? And he hasn't in this case. He's expressed his massive disappointment with the situation we find ourselves in. I mean, there's been others. Lyle Taylor sort of being a bit sly on Instagram, but you know, making it clear that he's not happy with a few things. I mean, Matt and Tanoon, between the two of them, have come in, well, probably more Matt, I guess, have sold Lee Bowyer a dream, and they've not delivered whatsoever. Now, Bowyer, I mean, he's a lot more respected in the game. He can say what he wants. There's nothing really Matt can do about it. And he's made it quite clear that, that he can... He can say what he wants in this situation. He's upset. And he clearly knew about the transfer embargo that no one else was told about in January. I mean, I'm shocked that he's managed to stay. And I'm so grateful that he decided to stay, because if it was me, I would have walked away a long time ago.
Grateful is the word I was just about to use. I think we're going to look back on all this, however it works out, and think we're very lucky to have someone like Lee Bowyer in charge, and not just because of what he does on the pitch, but the way he handles himself off it as well is pretty exemplary for a young manager like that, and for someone who's had his history within the game, shall we say, and we know what a hothead he was as a player, both on and off the pitch at that stage of his career. But he's handled this very well. He is in quite a decent position because he's obviously on a 3-year contract, and if he's going to, you know, he doesn't need to choose to walk away from it, and if they choose to get rid of him, then they're going to have to pay him some money. So he's in a position where, you know, he can't say whatever he wants, because legally he can't, but he can be firm with them. And the truth is that, as you say, his main responsibility is now keeping us up. We'll wait and see what happens with the rest of the league. But as he understood it on Thursday, his main job was to get enough points in those 9 games to stay up. And there's two men up the top fighting over a football club and not helping him in any way, and just making the situation 10 times worse. So I think he was completely right to say what he said. I wouldn't have been surprised if he'd gone even further, but he's been classy, he's been dignified, you know, and as Charlton fans, all you want to hear is you want to hear that your manager's prepared to stay, and we'll see, as I say, see what happens with this season now. But he's not walking away from this, and that's great to see, because the two up the top, whoever you're siding with, and I think it's pretty clear which one, if you are going to pick one, you have to go with now, neither of them are showing an ounce of leadership. They're squabbling like school children, and you need someone who's you actually can rely on in that point. I always felt like, under the Rowland years, while Jacko was still playing, every time he came on, you thought, well, at least there's someone there that's a bit Charlton, when you've got, I don't know, Bob Peters or Carol Fry on the side and all these random foreign players that have just come in for, you know, a month loan. At least Jacko was still around. And I feel like with Bowyer, there's that same connection still. And, he's not going to be able to do much with what's happening off the pitch, apart from voice his opinion, but he's been very clear where he stands on it. And as we said on Thursday night, at the end of that, really, now it's over to the lawyers to sort all that out. But Bojan now, and I'm sure we'll come on to the current situation, has just got to work on how he keeps his players fit, what he can and can't do with them, and make sure that if the season does pick back up at some point, that they're ready to go. Because on the pitch, we're still a football club. That's what the business is, and it relies on results. So we've hopefully still got a massive 9 games to come.
Yeah, I mean, the comments made were before the whole world has changed. The whole football world has changed in the last few days, Nathan. There's no football at the moment. It's a bizarre situation to be in. But the conversation was about players who know that. Well, they were told that we run out of money in December. Now there's all sorts of different dates that I've been told, and it's going to change again if we ain't getting gate money from games anytime soon. But I mean, as a player, and we'll try and cover the complications with the season being extended if that's going to be the case later on, but as a player, if you don't know if you're going to get paid much longer, I mean, how does that affect your mentality? Tom Lockyer said he'll it's almost like an up yours, we're going to do it even better to show you how good we are, that we deserve better. But surely some it will affect them in a bad way.
Yeah, of course it will. I mean, even if a lot of people will be like, oh, footballers get paid X, Y, Z, this, that and the other, but they still have mortgages, they still have families they have to provide for. And I mean, if it comes to the summer and nothing's resolved, you know, there's going to be some players who'll probably sit there and think, well, if I'm only going to be, nothing's set in stone, so come December, am I not going to get paid? You know, like I said, they've still got bills to pay. It's not, you know, we're not paying people hundreds of thousands pounds a week. So yeah, that's going to be a problem if it's not resolved. There's no stability there, and players are left to think of their future, which, again, then you're back at square one again, where we're probably going to have about 3 players that turn up for training. Or even if you look at the situation with Bolton, and we got Ozzy from Bolton when, you know, he sort of wanted to move because he was in that sort of predicament as well. But yeah, of course it's going to be unsettling, but for the meantime, they've still got this, they're all professionals and they'll still give their all until the end of the season and beyond, I'm sure. But there's going to raise question marks, just like any single one of us. You know, if we're told that you're working somewhere but we can only pay you until a certain amount of time, you ain't going to go, well, I'll risk it. You're going to look for another job. Everyone would. So yeah, it's not ideal. But like I said earlier, with these couple of weeks, hopefully something can sort itself out. And if it turns out that, you know, Tanoon carries it forward, he's got a lot of mess to sort out, hasn't he? It's been interesting how it pans out. But
I mean, so with the question mark over the amount of money that's left in the club, it does imply that some of the spending that's so far gone on Range Rovers, on an incredibly expensive London flat, the sort of decadence that an average Championship club could probably do without, really. You know, why are we bowling around pretending to be Man City? Why are we spending this sort of money on a lifestyle when we currently don't have secured funding? I mean, it's baffling, isn't it?
Yeah, what confuses me is Matt Southall again said that, oh, I don't stay in that flat that much. My house is actually in Manchester and any of the staff can stay there. Well, if you're not staying, well, why buy a place?
Why buy
that
it
much?
Anyway? Even it if it's just being used as like a, you know, as they claim, sort of like a premises for club staff for anyone to use at any point. Why does it have to be that expensive? I mean, it smacks of someone trying to live a life that they don't have. Someone trying to imply that they've got money that they don't have, and doing it on our dollar, which is a horrendous situation, because now you have to assume it's tied the club down for 2 years to something that's going to cost them $300,000 when they can't afford to, you know, appear to pay players or sign players. We're not in a position to sign players anyway. So it was absolutely baffling. Now, the accusations have gone around about, like we say, Matt Southall, Lee Amis, about this money that's been spent on the Range Rovers, for example. Again, can you see any justification for that?
Absolutely none. No. The only thing I could think they might try and justify is presumably part of their remit and their role is to try and drum up more finance for the club, more investors. And if that's the case, perhaps they want to, you know, it's the old David Brent line about what does a struggling salesman do? He turns up in a bigger car. If they want to be able to go to a meeting with a financier and come across as credible, they want to turn up in a Range Rover. They don't want to turn up in some knackered old car. So that might be how they see it. But no, absolutely not. There's no justification as far as I can see, because you should be living within your means. And I don't know if Tanoon signed off on it. If he did, I don't know if he knew what he was signing off for. I don't know exactly how that's come across, but they knew what financial situation the club was in. They knew that there was this 50 million bill due in June, presumably for the training ground and the valley, and they're choosing to blow that kind of money on a car. Like, again, as you just said, it strikes me of someone who desires that lifestyle, has never managed to get it, and has now been handed a blank check and said, you know, go and do what you want, and if you get away with it, you get away with it. And to me, that's how it comes across. And if that's the truth, then, you know, I'm glad that the people on Thursday did what they did to try and get him out of the club, because that's not someone that ever will fit around a club like Charlton. And it's one of those things we've said time and time again, when people like that come across and try and misuse the club, that they're messing with the wrong club, because we've done it time and time again in terms of protecting our club, and it looks like we're trying to have to do it again.
Yeah, now Tom's brought up an excellent point there about messing with the wrong club, about people protecting their club. And now, I, in fact, this is how crazy this week's been. I don't think we even mentioned during our catch-up that on Thursday evening, Tracy Leeburn, there was slight confusion over whether Tracy was told she was sacked or not, because we don't think she was in the room at the exact point the finger started pointing at people and telling them they were sacked. But that's pretty much how it went. But Ollie Groom was sacked, was told he was sacked. Mick Everett was told he was sacked. Chris Parks, we know, was suspended for a day before coming back. The treatment of loyal club staff over the course of this week has been an absolute disgrace, and implies that someone, you know, Matt Southall in this case, was floundering, was desperately trying to cling on to his place within the club, and he didn't care who he harmed and who was in his way as he did that. And it was outrageous that these people who were doing the best to defend their club were fired or suspended. And especially what we saw on Thursday evening. I mean, I'll never forget what I saw Mick and Ollie and Tracy go into that room to do, because they were doing it with the best interest of Charlton Athletic at heart. And I'm sure every Charlton fan will be so grateful for what they did that night.
Yeah, exactly. I think you wouldn't expect anyone to do that to any employee, but those...
You can't just walk up to someone and say you're sacked. Yeah. You have to do some paperwork, I think.
Exactly. And then with the people who've done it to, is just astounding, because, like you say, they've gone through so much, they've done so much for the club. But not only that, I mean, when, you know, Matt came in and gave the old PR spiel about, you know, how he knows the club and this, that and the other. Well, if he knew the club, then he would have known those people have done a lot and been really loyal, and then to treat them like that, because... I don't know, for me, if you're going to start doing that, you've got a bit of an ego problem for me. Just going around going, yeah, you're sacked or whatever he said. But yeah, and I mean, you can't do it. And I just think it was really disrespectful. And again, it's for me, it just, he's got caught out. He didn't like it. He didn't really like, because he probably thought he was Billy Big Balls. And then like you know, and that's the thing. It's like you can't do it. And for me, that was massive. Especially
I've not that language in my kitchen, boy.
Nearly. But yeah. So, but yeah. When obviously I weren't there. Obviously, I caught up with it, and it was just it was madness. And but obviously, it's been rebuffed now, isn't it, or whatever it's been withdrawn. Because I don't know the legalities of it, but it's just mental, really. But hey, at least they're still there, and they've done a massive job. And they'll continue to do a great job, all of them.
So. I mean, Tom mentioned earlier about picking sides. I guess it's a tough one, really, because I think we've seen Matt's true colours now, and I don't think there's any way back for him at this club in terms of the supporters. I mean, clearly, I think he's going to try legally to find out if there's a way back for him within this club. I think I'll be, you know, that may change, but that's the way I see it happening currently. With Tanoon, I mean, he's not exactly covered himself in glory this week, if we're being honest, and there's still plenty of question marks. If the EFL were saying they haven't received his source and sufficiency funding paperwork, then obviously that's something that needs to be proved. And I don't know if currently we're very much looking at the lesser of two evils. Is that the case? It is. I mean, maybe our best hope really is that Tanoon somehow gets hold of the club and then quickly sells it on to someone who's not going to air their grievances over Instagram. I mean, surely we could probably do a bit better than what we've been served up with in this last week.
Yeah, I think this isn't a personal vendetta against Matt Southall, but what we've heard this week just doesn't sound good, and we've not had much defence in that regard. We've just heard lies, really. Like,
well, you've got to be careful saying that, but you feel like... you feel like things that were happening wasn't quite how they were presented.
I guess
presented.
When I say lies, I mean in the January transfer window, we were told, like, here we go, blah, 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 and it just didn't happen. And as I say, in the press conference he gave with Lee Bowyer, and then we were all hyped up, I guess. We were all thinking, oh, here we go, club's going in the right direction. We just all feel so disappointed as fans. It's heart-wrenching to see all that stuff happening. And I think Katrien struggled to see what kind of bond fans have with their club. And it's the same's happening again now. Does Matt Southall not see what we as fans are experiencing? Because we're seeing our club, literally, as Tom said earlier, we're like, has our club got a future? Are we going to survive the week? And again, it's not a personal vendetta against him. It's what's happened this week has not looked good. And he's promised us a lot. And at the moment, it seems to have come apart. And as you said, do we trust Tanu now? Well, do we? Actions speak louder than words. A lot of his stuff this week has been worse. Now we need to see that in action. Are we going to see that? Well, at the moment, I don't know what's going to happen because we've heard a lot of words, but nothing's happened and it's deteriorated a lot.
I mean, the facts that it was EFL who have him confirmed that they haven't seen the source and the sufficiency of the funds. So, that doesn't fill you with confidence, does it? Because we don't know why that is. And there seems to be some claim from the lawyer that there's paperwork in the offing, or they thought they had sent it. So, I mean, that needs to be sorted this week.
Yeah.
For me to retain any hope that this isn't going to fall apart further.
It has to, and I don't know the intricacies of the fit and proper or their owners and directors tests or whatever it is, but the fact that they seem to be able to pass part of the test without showing source of funds, when source of funds is like the most basic AML, like anti-money laundering check you do for any purchase. Like if you try and buy a house, the first thing you have to do is tell them where the money's coming from and how much money there is. Like loads of people said on Twitter, anyone can go in the bank statement that has 50 million in the bank, but they still need to know where that money comes from as well. So the fact that they were able to pass a part of that test to say, yeah, you're fine, go ahead, own the club. Oh, but by the way, within the next 2 weeks, we need to see the money that proves it, seems mad to me. So the EFL have got questions to answer for yet again as well. But going back to what Ben said, I think the problem with Southall is he came in and he was a breath of fresh air compared to everything we'd heard before, because he engaged with fans, he said the right thing. You know, there were videos of him being clapped through the lounge, at the ground at first few weeks. So people now feel so stupid because they feel like they were just completely mugged off by this guy. And whether that's the case or not, as we say, you can leave it to the lawyers, I think, probably for now. But to go from that and from those statements about we've got the best interests of the club at heart, and the open dialogue that we finally had with a chairman who was prepared to engage with fans, who was prepared to go out, was, you know, there were photos of him with people's kids every game. And then suddenly this stuff comes out saying, well, he spent all this money and he's misused the club. And it really messes with your head, because as a football fan, all you want all of that to happen in the background. As a fan, you want to turn up on a Saturday, watch your club, hopefully watch him win and go home. You don't want to have to worry about the business of the football club. That should just happen behind the scenes. That's not for you to worry about. And time and time and time again, since I've been doing this show, we've spent so much time where we've had to talk about this instead of the football. And it used to just be depressing. And now it's scary, because there is a real chance, if this doesn't go well, that Charlton Athletic won't exist anymore. And that was how I felt on Monday. And then throughout the week, it felt a little bit less. But as you say, if that proof of funds doesn't get submitted or approved or whatever the EFL need to do, we're in big, big trouble. Mm. And that's the crux of it. And with the season being postponed and the lack of ticket money over the next few weeks as well, I don't see how that's certainly not going to improve the situation. So the next few months are absolutely crucial for the club.
I think The only way I can see out of this, other than Tanoon all of a sudden turning out he's actually a good guy, a great guy, he's got his money, sorry I forgot to send this letter that proves I'm my source and sufficiency, is that someone comes in, buys the club for, what, £1 off whoever, ESI, I guess, whoever currently owns it in that situation. And obviously they need to agree a deal with Roland. Now, Roland still owns the stadium, still owns the training ground, which is about quarter of a mile from where we're sitting now. He needs to understand that he won't get the stupid money he was promised for it by ESI. The fact that ESI promised that sort of crazy money in the first place was a bit confusing. And now I still have no idea what their thinking was, unless they suddenly thought they were going to get loads of money. I'm so confused by the whole thing. But Roland, at some point,
is going to have to rethink what he thought he was going to get for that stuff. It's no use to him just holding on to the stadium because there's very little else he could do with it unless they start a team that Nathan plays in and just starts a new club. But I can't imagine that'll sell out 27,000 seats every week. So that's another way out of it. Someone comes in, agrees a deal for the club, agrees a separate deal with Roland to buy the stadium because we can't have the stadium and the club separated for too much longer. Right, let's hear from someone else again, shall we? Now, the China Athletic Supporters Trust had a meeting with Matt Southall during the week. They came out the next day and called for Matt Southall to resign. I spoke to Richard Wiseman, the chair of the Supporters Trust, on the phone a couple of hours before we came on the show this evening to find out how the Trust are feeling, where they stand with the whole situation right now.
Yes, Louis, sure. Actually, although it seems a bit like ancient history now, I mean, in itself, it was quite an illuminating meeting. We did learn things. We learnt about the transfer embargo that wasn't actually a complete embargo. We got some more information about the freehold and discovered that it wasn't quite as straightforward as a compulsory purchase in 6 months, and we were able to make our point about the extravagance of the flat and the Range Rovers, etc. But actually what was really the big issue for us was in the light of Tanu Nimer's statement that he would no longer fund while Southall was in post, did Southall have anything credible to say about the long-term funding of the club? And as I think people know, he said that there was enough funding till next Christmas and that he was confident that he could find alternative investors. We didn't share that confidence at all, particularly as he lost the confidence of the fans by then. Plus, there'd be an inevitable big delay of a legal process to go through. So we came away from that with very little confidence. And by the time once the Trust Board had had an opportunity to debate it, we felt we had no alternative really but to call for his resignation, because him being in post would just hold up the process of possibly moving to something a bit more stable.
Yeah, I mean, of course, you came out the next day and called for the resignation on Twitter. I'd just like to pick up actually on something more you said there, because obviously the future of the stadium and the training ground is something that, well, along with everything else, it will be very much up in the air at the moment. And when ESI first came in, we were told there was some sort of, as you say, compulsory purchase order within 6 months. Now, you're saying that may be slightly different to what we've been told. So could you just add any more into that situation?
Well, not a lot more than that we were told at that meeting that there was a bit more flexibility than that. I don't think there was any more detail given, but it wasn't 6 months or nothing, which makes it all very odd. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, right from the start, we thought, well, if this is a legal obligation to purchase the freehold within a certain time period, what's the delay? But apparently it isn't that tight. Mm-hmm. So it could take longer, but they didn't give us any more details, I don't think, about an extension.
Yeah, and you mentioned the loss of the trust and the supporters. I mean, I think it's become quite clear with the spending that appears to have been done so far already, a club that is struggling for money, a club that, as it stands, is going to run out of money in December, which is what Matt Southall is saying. I know plenty of people have heard differently as well to that. So, and you mentioned the idea of the Range Rovers, the flat lease that has tied the club down to $300,000 worth of expenditure over the next 2 years. I mean, and you said it was brought up. What can you say was Matt Southall's reaction to that, or what did he have a clarification? Did he think he could justify that expenditure?
Well, I mean, his justification for the flat was that it was a corporate flat, not just for his own use, but we would hope he'd be in the club running it pretty well full time, so he'd be staying there all the time. I really don't think there was any justification. And the Range Rovers are so symbolic, aren't they, of so much that's wrong with football. But as I said, although those things are all very important and alarming, really our issue for the Trust was, does this guy have the access to sufficient funding to run this club, or are we going to run out of money? You know, I mean, even if he could do it till Christmas, that's not good enough. And you know, relegation and coronavirus would eat into that. So that was our big issue. You know, can this guy give us confidence that there's sufficient funding? And he couldn't. I mean, I'm afraid so.
Yeah.
We saw no alternative.
So what happens next is obviously quite confused at the moment. As far as I'm concerned, I think Matt Southall's current position within the club is still unclear. I don't think I haven't seen a statement anywhere that suggests that he's actually left yet. Although, of course, I imagine there's a lot of legal wrangling going on behind the scenes, so we can't say for certain what his current status is. But moving on to what could be a potential way out, of course, is if Matt does leave and Tanun Namir does decide he wants to put money into the club, of course he has to pass the source and sufficiency testing from the EFL. Plenty of stuff that we don't know about him. I mean, does the trust at this moment have a position or any confidence in what Tanun Namir can bring to this club in the long term?
Well, I think, like most Charlton fans, the jury's out, really. We are a bit alarmed by some of the things he's said and done over the last 2 weeks, but he is the majority shareholder. Nobody seems very clear about how much money he has access to, but he would appear to be the guy in the driving seat. We've been trying to pursue him most of last week to get a meeting, because obviously, like most Charlton fans, we'd like to hear, you know, what is his long-term interest and long-term plan. First thing we'd like to do is to stress to him the need to appoint someone to run the club on a day-to-day basis who can bring some stability and sanity to the show, really. And I'm not sure if his Romanian friend, Mr. Florica, is necessarily that person. But at the moment, you know, he's the person in the driving seat, and we'd just like to find out more about how he sees things going forward.
Now, and sort of separate but almost tied into the chaos that's happened this week, you've had your survey out over the last few weeks. So, I mean, you put an annual survey out to sort of understand the feeling of fans at the moment. I mean, can you give us any indication as to what sort of results you're getting? I can't imagine it's all glowing at the moment, unfortunately.
No, but the survey actually was running. We started it 10 days ago, and when the whole thing kicked off on Monday night, we closed it because it wasn't really designed for this sort of crisis time. But in those 3 or 4 days it was running, we had 500 responses. You know, I think if we'd been able to run it for its full time, we'd have hoped to get up to more like 1,000. And it's just interesting that we asked people to itemise what were the most important things for them going ahead with new ownership. The most important thing, 86%, open and honest dialogue between club owners and fans.
Certainly been very open, I guess, as I saw it this week.
Exactly. I mean, you know, that's exactly what we haven't had, have we? 84% shared and sensible ambition for the club. 76% feeling proud to say you support Charlton Athletic. And just below that, 75% is the issue of the freehold of the stadium and the club not being separate. So those shouldn't come as any surprise to us, really. Charlton fans have been saying that for some years. If I may just say that the importance of marquee signings is 11%. So it rather accentuates where people stand on this.
Jansen bringing the ball forward, short, good challenge from Cullen, wins it back for Charlton. Can it come to Williams? Williams dives in, gets the ball, Williams on his feet, on a run, Williams, ball inside to Gallagher, it's good, Gallagher shooting chance, Gallagher scores!
Come on!
A whip chance, first shot, goal! The Addicts take the lead, all down to the work and the determination of Johnny Williams, inside to Conor Gallagher, whose first touch was great and the finish was excellent, and Charlton have an unlikely lead.
Welcome back. This is Charlton Live, coming to you live from my kitchen. Nearly said the valley there. On your Sunday evening, we just heard there from Richard Wiseman from the Supporters Trust. They called for Matt Southall to resign on Thursday. That says it all, really. Thanks to Richard to coming on and explaining the Trust's position. I thought I'd play a jingle with a goal on it to try and cheer us all up and remember that football used to happen. Then I picked one on a player who got stolen from us. So there we go. Not too great. Let's have a look at some of the comments that have come in then. I won't be able to get to them all, but I'll try and read out a few of them. Jazz says, one absolutely mad week. First evening took the biscuit. My son and I were sat together on Thursday, continually updating the phones, watching the madness at the Valley unravel in front of us. This row blowing up when the club was about to face its biggest game of the season before the coronavirus intervened. I suspect many players and staff have stories to tell about what's been going on behind the scenes for the last 3 months. Yeah, they certainly have. Hasn't our club been through enough in the last dozen years or so? Murray losing the plot after Curbs left a bunch of... bunch of people buying the club as part of some property, and megalomaniac billionaire owner mismanaging the club, and now this. I fear this is the start of another distressing chapter in our club's history. I suspect Southall won't give up his ESI shares easily, and we could be in for a prolonged legal battle between him and Nimmer. Southall will want his pound of flesh. I simply don't trust Nimmer either. The way he's handled this affair after launching attacks and passing comments on social media doesn't make me believe that he's a steady hand. The level-headed owner that we need to take the club forward. If he still hasn't proved the finances to buy the freeholds to the Valley and Sparrows Lane, nor does he keep very good company when it comes to the business people he hires or associates with. He hasn't demonstrated he has any knowledge or experience of how to run a football club. I hope he surprises us and pulls it off, but I doubt it. Strap yourselves in. It's going to be a bumpy ride. And I guess that sort of, Nate, that sort of does... cover the fact that it's not now that Matt Southall has or hasn't gone, but certainly been put through the ringer a bit over the last few days. It's not like, oh great, everything's fine now. There's still so much that's up in the air.
Yeah, it's not. It's still everything's still up in the air. And like I said earlier, it's not a relief, but with the situation with the virus going around, we've not got any games. It might give. Whoever's sort of running the show now, whether that's Tanoon or the lawyers, getting everything sorted out, it gives them a little bit of time to focus on that. Now we haven't got any games, but yeah, like you say, there's loads to sort out. You know, like I said earlier, if Tanoon comes through it all, we still got, there's a lot of repair and trust to be won back. If Matt Southall doesn't come back, I mean, who's he going to come in? And you know, you're going to have to rebuild it. It's the massive, massive issues and things about the embargo. Obviously, that's come out. So yeah, he's got big building blocks to put in place, and I know he's got a load of other businesses, but I think this might be up there with one of something that's highly critical. And but yeah, it's so hard to say because we don't really know what's going to happen. I mean, it's mental really, because like Tom was saying, when it first come in and we thought we turned a corner, the grey clouds shifted slightly, and we're back at square one again, and it's. Like again, what Tom said, you know, everyone came with a brush of fresh air, and it was, oh wow, you know, and it was looking good. It was, you know, everything seemed to be hitting the right notes, and then out of nowhere, it all comes tumbling down. But like I said, we never do it easy, do we?
There was always this idea that, you know, the foundations were a bit built on sand, you know, sort of behind the scenes. But I mean, I was saying to someone this week, I mean, I always thought or something. Would probably end up going wrong here, but I never thought it'd be the week we've just seen in the style we've just seen. Right, this one's from Sad Dog Mendonca. Hi Louis and the team, I've been too depressed this week to keep up with the absolute mess that the club has managed to get itself in. I have no faith in anybody involved in this saga, and I just hope the situation can be resolved and that we can be rid of Matt Southall and Tanu Namir, although I don't know how realistic that is. A long-term future looks bleak, but the one positive is that we do have Lee Bowyer. Fans can question his tactics, but he cares about the club, and that is so important to us right now and everything going on. That's from Liam, that's from Sad Dog Mendonca. Cheers for that. Right, so Sam... sent in. Was also Sam was the one who managed to get the fix for people listening on Chrome earlier, so well done to him. But he sent in some questions. Has Matt Southall been removed from the penthouse in Docklands? Don't know, actually.
Probably not.
Guessing not at the moment, but who knows. Will CFC have to continue paying the lease at £12,500 a month, or will they cancel the lease contract? Well, I'm no expert, but I can't imagine if the club signed it, they can just go and cancel it. There might be a break clause in it after a year.
Yeah.
So, but probably not. Has Matt Southall been forced to give up the car? Well, last I saw, he was driving away in it on Thursday. will they have to continue paying for those four cars, or will they try and cancel? Who knows? And then final question, is Tanu Namir really connected to royalty in the UAE? Or is His Excellency just a general polite title that I've used a lot that is used a lot over there and doesn't actually carry much weight? Is anyone expert on that sort of stuff out there?
Don't have a clue.
No. So, yeah. Difficult questions. I mean, it just goes to show that there's so much up in the air. at the moment. Bob Liscombe saying, when Tanun Namir came over, didn't he take everyone out for a meal at the O2? I wonder who paid for that.
Yeah.
Not everyone.
Yeah. And right, yeah. Ian Smith said, in light of the shambolic events this week at the club, Tuesday was made even worse by the announcement that the White Swan had closed down. A terrible state of affairs. We have not even got anywhere to drown our sorrows.
I love this one.
Yeah, that is a real shame. One of the best pubs up in the village. They still got the Bugle next door, haven't you? So everyone, I mean, that's a busy pub at the best of time. But yeah.
Swan had some good ales on, whereas the Bugle doesn't.
Yeah, very disappointing. Right, Lee Chapman said, I spoke to Southall before the game at Huddersfield, spoke for a few minutes, and then said, I bet you'll be looking forward to spending some money in summer. His reply was, I'll be having my say about the January window in due course. It didn't resonate with me at the time, but now it means more. So there you go. Still doesn't clarify why Matt was giving away tickets for the person who could guess the next person we were going to sign and stuff like that. But there you go. Right. We need to talk about something else, of course, that's happened this week, and that is the fact that all football's been cancelled. I can't believe I'll be 10 minutes from the end of a Charlton Live and have to say that, but we're in a really bizarre situation in the world at the moment. The coronavirus is obviously sweeping all over the planet. Things are going to get worse before they get better. I think that's quite clear. As of Thursday evening, the football was still due to go ahead. That was one of the reasonably funny things that actually came out of Thursday night, other than the fact it took Matt Southall and the people in the boardroom nearly an hour to realise they could shut the curtain to stop me taking photos through the window. Was the other thing was that Ollie was slightly confused because he hadn't started writing the programme for the QPR game on Tuesday because he was under the assumption the game was going to be called off. But then at that stage we were told it was going to be on. Now it has been called off. Currently we're told no games until the 4th of April. There's no chance that we're going to be playing the 4th of April. We don't know how long this is going to go on. Obviously, we're all going to go through some very difficult challenges. And as I mentioned earlier on the show, for me, football is a major release from real life. So the fact we're going to lose that is going to be really weird. And we're going to have to look after each other in that respect. But obviously, we're going to have major challenges elsewhere as well in terms of our personal health and the health of us and our family. And that's something that we're all going to have to try and get through together over the course of the next however long this takes. So football will certainly be put on the back burner for now, but when it eventually comes back to life, and that's what we're going to talk about now, people are going to wonder what's going to happen next, because as it stands, there's 9 games of the season. I've been joking over the course of the last few weeks at work, saying Charlton just needs to make sure they don't ever drop below that line in case it all gets called off and they say, oh, you just stand there. Now, I don't think that could surely happen, because there'll be teams in the Premier League who could get relegated, who could still have a chance of staying up, like I think Aston Villa. And their lawyers would be rubbing their hands at the thought of them being told they have to go down and lose however much money per year without playing all the games. So I don't think that can happen. What do you think? I mean, what can you have any suggestions, Tom, about what could happen when we come back after the break?
The thing is, like you just said there with the Villa example, I assume that they're, I don't know if it's a physical contract, but when you go into the start of a season, part of the agreement is that you're expected to fulfil 38 games, because when teams don't fulfil a fixture like Bolton didn't occasionally, you suddenly get lumped with a fine. So there's obviously teams, if they suddenly called the season off, that can't fulfil fixtures. But on the other hand, and one of the journalists said it on Football Focus, which for some reason was still on yesterday, that this is unprecedented. Like, this has never happened before. So we're in uncharted territory and we don't know what's going to happen. For me, if the Euros gets moved and we manage to find a way to get the peak over and done with, and this starts to tail off, you try and get the games played through the summer and delay the start of next season if you can. And then Bowyer loves a Saturday Tuesday, doesn't he? And there's going to have to just be a few more of those next season and try and make next season into a slightly shorter period. That's the only way I can see it, because obviously as a Charlton fan I don't want the season to end as it is, and as you say, there are other clubs that are going to feel the same, but it doesn't seem fair to do it. But as I say, it's unprecedented, so we haven't had to ever deal with this before. But yeah, for me, I think the summer tournament almost certainly will get moved. And then it's a case of, as soon as it's safe to do so, then you play the games then. Even if it has to be behind closed doors, which I know they won't want to do. But even if that's the case, then just get the season done.
Yeah, because I guess there's an opportunity for next season cancel the cup competitions. I guess that's one thing I've seen suggested that would make sense. Fewer games to have to squeeze in then. And there'll be no way they'll be looking to try and cancel something like the Champions League, which obviously won't affect us. But I can't imagine the FA Cup is too much of a money spinner for many people these days, or the League Cup. So I guess that would make sense. Can you see any other way about it, Nath? I guess the only other thing is playing games behind closed doors. I mean, that would help the integrity of the competition in terms of getting it finished as and when they can. But if you're looking at, I mean, a lot of the almost condescending chat is about lower league clubs, but this 100% will affect us because we've got no money, is teams losing their gate receipts. Now, I mean, that will kill clubs, including us, to an extent. If we don't have a level of income coming in. I remember years ago going back to, you know, non-league. Bromley had a particularly harsh winter, and all of a sudden they hadn't had a home game for about 8 weeks, and all of a sudden, due to someone else having a game called off away from home, there was a chance to play a game in about 2 days' time, and they desperately shoehorned a fixture. I think it was against Maidstone into sort of just after Christmas, just to get some bodies in because they were that desperate for the money. If clubs go without money, I mean, this is going to be really serious for them, and it feels absolutely ridiculous talking about it when we don't know what complications this is going to have for all of us personally in terms of our health and the health of our relatives over the next few years. But from a football side of it, I mean, this could be really bad news for clubs.
Yeah, I mean, when it first came out, I sort of said about getting rid of the checker trade, the check yourself before you wreck yourself where it is, and FA Cup, League Cup, because it gets rid of fixtures and you'll just have to try and cram it in a little bit more. But with the, on the flip side, if some of these lower league teams rely on the cup receipts, especially when you get big away days and stuff like that, they rely on it. So it's quite hard. Another one you could possibly say, I mean, if you look at Arsenal, we've been in the relegation for, 1 week or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And if we go down now, that would be a travesty. But can you do it where maybe you have a 22-team Premier League and a 26 Championship, so you have the automatic spots as they are, but then you don't have any relegations?
Yeah, I don't think Fulham would be too happy with that, sat in those playoff places.
That's what I mean. So it's like someone somewhere is going to lose out, ultimately. I don't think you should void the season because it'll be, well, even that would be funny to watch Liverpool do that. But I think we'll just have to play it when we can. If we have to do it behind closed doors, that's what it is. Get it done as soon as we can. But then they were saying they might move the Euros to December, which makes it even worse.
That's mad.
So, I mean, I'd just start the season a bit later, cram it in Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then everyone's going to be all right, aren't they?
We'll be done in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, those pressers are going to be quality.
48 games in 2.5 months.
But yeah, I don't know. This is what I mean, but this is what all the big wigs are getting paid to do, aren't they? So they'll have to come out with a solution.
I mean, there's loads of other questions. So the season extends beyond... What is the end of June that players' contracts run out? So if we have to play beyond then, do we still have Lyle Taylor? I mean, do our loans still count? Does Josh Cullen still play here? I mean, no one... This is going to cause a real palaver in the football world, which is going to be... I mean, we've got enough of one going on at the moment without all that, really. It's going to be really baffling to see what happens next, Ben.
That's probably a big argument to what they will discuss. The players' contracts run out at the end of June. So what are you going to do if that's the case? If, as he said, big players for us are going to run out at the end of June, then you can't play the season beyond the end of June. Unless, it just can't happen, can it? It just, with the Euros coming up as well, I just think they're going to say on Tuesday, is it? They're making the decision. They're just going to cancel the season, I think. I think that's the only thing they can say with the governments. What they're saying is just gonna end early. Unfortunately for Liverpool, it's just gonna end early.
Surely we won't play for a while, but it won't. There's no way on earth they can do that. I can't imagine how that could possibly work.
What's the other competition where they do? So for like the relegation, isn't they do like a head-to-head league or something? But then how do you do that with the bottom three? Because you need. If you're in the bottom three, you can't do a head-to-head between the bottom three because then you're still in the bottom
three.
Other teams
have been in the
bottom
three.
Do you know what I mean? So how do they drag that in? Like, you could do a head-to-head.
Head-to-head from the top six?
Yeah, that's what I mean. we just pick the teams we want and go, yeah, they're head-to-head teams.
People saying it on the emails, we should just do it after the first game. So after everyone's played each other once, they're saying just do a table after that.
Happy with that?
Yeah, we're happy that. Ours, aren't we?
So. We'll probably get promoted, won't we?
Yeah. We'll probably be in
Wembley again.
Yeah, we'll certainly be somewhere sort of in the middle of the table, I'm sure. Right, we're coming towards the end. To try and squeeze in one more email then, I guess, from Stuart. Says, good luck with this evening's show. Yeah, cheers. I imagine it'll be quite busy. I just want to say this week has been an absolute disgrace from those heavily associated with our club, primarily Matt Southall, Tanu Namir and the EFL. Matt Southall, no matter what happens with the potential legal battle now between the two, I believe there's absolutely no way back for him. The lies that this is what Stuart feels like, that have been told regarding the ownership of the stadium and the training ground, the complete exaggeration of transfer deadline day and the huge expenses taken from the club account has led to irreparable damage between the fans and the chairman. He needs to realise he will not be accepted back and to do it quickly. Tanu Namir, the way the news broke on Monday evening was not acceptable. We are now 10 weeks into this ownership and only now we hear about a transfer embargo on the 6th of January and that the source of the funds has not been satisfied to the EFL. Why? If there has ever been any doubt over the character of Southall or that he could not spend the retired time sustaining our football club, he should not have got involved with this venture. At this moment in time, it appears that most fans are siding with Tanoon. However, I would probably say that this is mainly due to the fact he is a majority shareholder, potentially the only way to save us from the end. He too, if we survive, has a lot to prove. And the EFL are just beyond words. How can you let a football club, which means so much to so many people, be taken over without all the checks being completed? Once again, we, like many others, have been let down by them. Finally, genuine question. Who do we think wrote that statement supporting Matt Southall on the club website? And he's talking about the one that would have been on Thursday. He had a good PR firm. And I would say he had a good PR firm, judging by the way everyone loved him so much. But yeah. There you go. Right, we've run out of time on this Charlton Live. I'm going to have to say now, probably our last live Charlton Live for a long time. Don't know what's going to happen now over the next however long. See ya. I don't know what to say. I imagine I'll be seeing at home quite a lot. So I'm going to try and if any former players or anyone interesting wants to come on, wants to come on the show over the phone, do an interview just to keep people's spirits up while we're all sat indoors. I'll be happy to do that. I'll work my very few contacts and
get Freddie out the
Freddie Olmsted, see if anyone fancies coming on to do some sort of show. But I guess this will be the last time we'll speak to you live for a little while. So yeah, take care of yourselves. See you on the other side, hopefully. And guys, thanks for coming in. Good to see you.
Much all. Cheers, mate.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was late.
And that's that. And we'll see you again when we see you again. See you later.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.